You are listening to the Crazy Brave Songwriter Podcast. This is a podcast about the magic of making music, one song at a time. My name is Lisa M. Arreguin. I'm happy to be your host for today. I have been a big fan of the band Darden for a long time. Originally, I first heard them sing in a small deli sandwich shop in Anaheim, California, about 7 years ago, and I couldn't believe the blend of their voices, the harmonies, and the variety of instruments they played. As a vocal teacher for years, I knew what I was hearing was exceptional and something different. And right there, I became a fan, following their career as they continue to play locally, regionally, and internationally. You'll find them to be the real deal, authentic, honest, and in it for music's sake as it connects to other people. Raised on the California coast in a family of musicians, the band grew up surrounded by musical influences from almost every genre. In the early 2000s, their parents piled them into an RV, and together they embarked on several singing tours around the U.S., traveling as far east as Ohio. Darden is a five-piece family band consisting of three sisters, Clara on guitar and vocals, Javi on mandolin and vocals, and Tabby on bass and vocals, and two brothers, Josiah on drums, Noah on keys. The three young ladies are joining me in the studio today. Even though you'll hear three different voices from Clara, Javi, and Tabby, they sound amazingly like one solid voice, so solid and tight, in fact, that you can't get a butter knife in between those voices. See if you can hear where one starts and the other begins. At the end of the show, I'll be playing a song they wrote called Happy and Sad, and they discuss a little about the songwriting backstory of that song and give some advice to artists about how to keep going in the business. I talked to them on the show about how they started their career, how they work, write, and collaborate, and about their long history of touring, and you'll get to hear for the first time ever a live in-house performance recorded at Love and Laughter Music Studios in Anaheim. The song they are performing in-house is called The Moon. No mixing, tuning, or changes have been made to their performance. So let's kick it off with the band Darden.
Check 1, 2, check 1, 2. Testing, testing.
Hi, we're Darden. My name's Clara. I'm playing the guitar.
I'm Havla on the mandolin.
And my name is Tabitha on the bass guitar.
And here's our original song, The Moon.
Stay in one town for too long. I keep my
That was awesome, ladies. Who needs auto-tune?
We have always had music in our family. Our grandfather was an entertainer for over 50 years, all over Orange County. He played the piano and sang and had a touring show and everything. And then our parents both sang and were dancers. And finally, they started singing in church in Bible college. Once they started having us one at a time, they thought it was kind of cool just adding one little singer at a time to the group. And so it was kind of a natural process, and it turned into us singing on the road and traveling to different churches all over the U.S. So we would travel for 9 months out of the year. The farthest we went was to Kentucky and Ohio. And then we would just tour. We had this little tour mapped out every year, and then we would go and stop at all these different churches all over the states. We had different favorite stops to make, lots of little camps and different things. So we would do that and then come back for the holidays. The first few years was a trailer, and we had like a car pulling the trailer, and we'd all have to ride in the car, and then we'd stop and unpack and all of that. And then the last several years was in a motorhome, which we really liked because we could just be in there the whole time. And when we'd run the generator, we'd be able to watch Little House on the Prairie, our favorite show, and just relax in there. And then we'd do our school on the road too. We were all homeschooled, so we'd bring all of our books with us and be able to look out the window, try not to get carsick doing our work. it was fun. It was awesome. Before my brothers were born, it started out, I think, with the four girls. When we actually started traveling, it was 2002. So Tabby was, just starting to sing with the group. It kind of started winding down, I think. We started feeling like it was getting really difficult. As we got older, we got bigger and there was less space. So we were either going to upgrade to a bigger bus or we were going to settle down and find what we could do at home. And it just worked out. Our grandfather started helping us go into music lessons, and we wanted to really focus on the instruments and learning and planting. So I think, I don't quite remember exactly when the day or when the decision was made that we were done. It just kind of happened where we're not going to go on the road this year. We're going to be at home. We have a lot of shows. I think our grandpa, he was already doing the retirement community a ton, and he had moved out of his clubs and all of that stuff, and he had been playing in church and retirement communities for the past several years. And he told my mom it would be a great avenue for the kids to play, and you can make a little extra money that way, and you know, they love to see young people come in and sing the songs they know, and you can come and piggyback on one of my shows. Yeah. And so we did.
And this is Tabitha speaking now. I think that was the next phase, the next stage of the music, because it taught us live performance and how to do live performance, how to write a show out, and someone has to MC, somebody has to count off the songs so we know when to start and things like that. So it kind of took us off of being a family band and put us into like an entertainment environment.
This is Clara. I started with guitar when I was 6. It just was always what I wanted to play. So I picked it up and I would carry it around everywhere. And then I've always played around with other instruments, but the guitar is the one that stuck with me, and it was just normal as can be for me.
This is Havala. We all had taken ukulele lessons, and we were taking some guitar lessons as well and piano lessons. And the mandolin, I guess it was comfortable because it's kind of as small as the ukulele. It just felt comfortable to play, I think probably because of the uke lessons, I'm guessing.
This is Tabitha. I was in the ukulele phase for a long time, I think the longest. The other girls had found their instruments, Sila on the violin, Clara guitar, Havala mandolin. They stuck with those for probably a year or 2 years before I decided on the bass, because I was just playing ukulele. Eventually, Clara says, we don't have a bass or anything holding down the music. There's too many strings going on, and we also didn't have percussion of any kind. I was the odd man out with the ukulele. So then I ended up picking up the bass. We got a quarter size, so it was very small, and it was an upright bass. I went to an acoustic guitar bass, and then eventually went to the electric bass guitar.
We do always say, at the end of the day, majority rules for the band, so that helps because we'll start learning a song and we'll give it a chance. We also, another rule is that we have to give everything a chance. So if someone comes with a song that they want to do, like a cover or something like that, we'll work on it a little bit. We'll play it through a few times, like a few sessions of rehearsing. and see how it goes. And then a lot of times just that helps. Like, we can really get the feeling for the song. We can tell, like, if we're already bored playing it, it's just kind of, like, not going anywhere.
Yeah, and I find the most passionate quarrels we have are because we feel very strongly about what we're presenting. And so it's usually from a place of, I think this either sounds the best or would be interpreted the best. For me, school has changed a lot because I've done a lot of theory classes. And before, I didn't have that, and we just relied on our ear. But now with the theory, I'm like, there's all these new ideas coming in. So I'm like, okay, wait, this is the right harmony part. And so then we have like, well, this is the part that sounds good to me. And then, but this is the part that I like. So we have to, you know, give and take with that.
And I also have realized that our disagreements are all pretty logistical. The conclusion we come to is what sounds the best.
We rarely get into personal fights anymore. We used to, of course, we went through all of that. But now we've tailored it to why are we arguing? And then we usually are able to back up and look at what we're trying to get. What's the objective here? And then we're able to talk it through. So it's been really good. And then if we get in a disagreement and it's like before a show or something, by the end of the show, we feel great because the music just playing together just irons out everything. And you can't be mad for an entire 2 hours or however long the show is.
When I started writing, it was a lot of writing tunes and melodies and chords and stuff like that, and I wasn't really into the lyrics as much. But lately, I will start with probably like a first verse or like a chorus part with lyrics, and then a lot of times I can't really find a melody to match it. So that's when I'll take it to like Tabby or Clara, because the guitar helps a lot of times. But with like for a singing melody, a lot of times I'll ask Tabby, or if I need chords, then I'll ask Clara. That recently has been what's been happening, at least with some newer songs. It's hard sometimes to find a melody that matches it. So I'll just write probably like half of the song or even less, and then I'll just bring it to the table.
Lately for me, it's been, I have a thought during the day or something, and I just write it down, just a line maybe, and then I'll go back to it later and work around it. But the way I write right now is just singing and playing at the same time, not judge myself so much and just come up with anything that comes to my mind and then just record it on a voice memo. And then I'll, you know, be cringing, laughing, listening to it. But there's something good in there sometimes. We're all still living together and we can approach each other with an idea and someone's going to have something to bounce off of it. And I mean, the girls are phenomenal with melodies. Havala is really good with melodies and lyrics and stuff that I would never think of. And same with Tabitha, like she'll come up with a song that I just like, wow, it's like a perfect song already. And she's just written it. And so it's really fun because we can bounce ideas off of each other and there's always something fresh.
Writings are not lacking. That's not something we have a problem with yet, is having material, original material. What the problem is, or I guess our roadblock, you could say, is recording it fast enough and getting it out there fast enough. Mm-hmm. Because we're always like, whoa, I have a new song and a new one. And then someone else has another one. And then somebody else. About the songs. And then it's like three or four or five over the past week or something, or 2 weeks. I love making music and writing music because of the possibility of making somebody feel how I do when I hear something that I love that was written musically or lyrically. Like, I'll hear one of my favorite songs, Scarborough Fair, Simon and Garfunkel, and it can change your whole outlook on life, your moods or your motivation or drive. It can change all that.
All of us six siblings all have the ability to do it. And it seems like we're all very passionate about it, and it all works when we do it together.
It's the one thing that we can go back to. Like, there's something where you just know that it's what you're meant to do. And it's not in a way that there's pressure. It's not in a way that's like, oh, I have to do this because this is what our family does. It's when you know you have a calling. And I think we're really blessed to know our calling, because a lot of people spend years trying to find what that is, and it takes time to figure that out. And I mean, we were lucky that we were put into it so young, but I think it's something that we know it would be a shame to let it go. And so all the work is worth it, and whatever struggle we have to go through, it's definitely a God-ordained thing for us to do. And just what Tabby was saying as well about the joy and the hope that it can bring to people, the capability of that is really incredible, and we've been able to see it firsthand just in performing, especially in retirement homes where they don't get a lot of visitors, they don't get a lot of young people coming in and just their faces light up. And even if they have dementia or other ailments, they can sing the songs and remember the songs. And it's the music that brings back those memories and those pathways. And so it is therapy. It is all of that. If I'm going through something, sometimes there's no way I feel like I can release it. And I always turn back to the music. And I always am able to write my thoughts and sing about it to myself. And it is therapy for me.
One of the coolest parts about this is that the outcome isn't necessarily why we're doing this. Meaning where we end up in our lives down the road is not a concern of mine because we're doing it right now. Because we're having all those life moments that are so part of the human experience because we're doing something that we actually believe in.
One of the greatest examples I can think of the synchronicity factor of being in the right place at the right time, just answering the call of what we were supposed to do. We were singing at an assisted living or a rehab care center. There was this lady in the audience just bawling to all of her songs, and she was crying, and she was like, oh, like, I love this music. Where are you guys from? And so we ended up talking with her, and she was there for her mom, who was receiving care there, and she'd been there for a little while, and it turns out she's in the music industry. She's been a manager for years. She's been working with management companies, and she has all these connections. She knows people, and she's already thinking, like, I want to get you guys on this show. I want to start this reality show with you. I want to do this recording producer and all these ideas. And, you know, that was so new to us back then, and we were on board with all of it. And it turns out that was Anise, who is our manager now for all these years. We flew out to Michigan. And it was during January, so it was snowing still. It was freezing cold. And of course, we have not been around that kind of weather for a long time. So we were kind of shell-shocked by the cold. We brought like big fur coats and everything, and they were much needed. Our goal was to complete a whole song, to write and record a whole song through that week and have fun in the process. And we bought a ton of mini bagels. We found out that was our recording snack thing that we just stuck with. And we did it. We completed our goal. We wrote that song, and it kind of stemmed from long conversations, which we always end up having with him. He's quite a thinker as well, so we always come up with these random stuff, random things to talk about. And that was one of the conversations we trailed off into, and it was the feeling of when you're in a certain point in your life that you know that you have to make a certain decision, right? And it's kind of more, less a heart decision. It's more of a knowledgeable, like a mind smart decision that this needs to be done. This is the right thing. This is what I know is right, but it doesn't feel great. It feels really difficult.
Because your heart is involved.
Yeah, it's an emotional thing. So we were talking, sharing experiences of recently stuff we had been going through that related to that. And we started out the week by saying, we don't want to write a love song because we have too many of those. Those are just a dime a dozen, and we want to do something a little bit different. He's a genius on the piano, so he's the one that came up with the piano hook, and he played that and recorded it on the album. And then we recorded it. We made do because he didn't have his studio at that time going. And so at the house, we set up in the basement, I think. We set up, like, in a closet, some cushions, some pillowcases.
Different things in the closet.
Yep, and he had set up a little control room in one of the bedrooms and then had a little cords running.
Like up the stairs or something?
Yeah, up the stairs. And then there were some points where we couldn't think of a certain line or maybe a spot, so we'd run out into the cold for inspiration. And then we'd make some more tea, made tons of tea. Another thing we like to do and that we tried to do with this song is to make it to where it can be almost about any situation. So you could even turn it into a love song. You could turn it into a breakup or whatever you want, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be something that's constricting that way to where someone could think of their current situation and say, I relate to that because, you know, I have to quit this job that I love or whatever. It may be leave a bad, you know, maybe a toxic situation, but you still love the person or things like that, that real issues that people deal with that we really like to get to. We like to talk about those things, and we like to, like, dive into that.
Yeah, it's, like, a very simple song, but very open at the same time. It's, like, that's how we wanted it to be.
It's an open conversation.
Yeah.
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 Most artists would agree when I say that you have to play to live.
kind of touching on what Tabby was saying, if it's really what you love to do, then you'll just stick with it and it will always come back to you and it will always be something you can go back.
Yeah, and I agree with that. The day in and the day out, just doing it when you don't feel like it, always. And the main, I think, piece of advice that comes to mind for me is just perform. Play for people, anyone that will listen. If you have to do open mics or if you have the opportunity and if people want to hire you, that's even better.
Get as much experience as you possibly can.
Happy and sad. Why does a good thing feel so bad? Like tears in heaven, a winter in the spring. Da, 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 da. Like sunset at dawn. Why does the right thing feel so wrong? And just like that, I'm happy and sad.
One, two, three.
That's a good challenge.
The song, Happy and Sad, played in its entirety. This is Lisa again, and I want to take this moment to applaud the team at loveandlaughtermusicgroup.com, a safe and knowledgeable spot for musicians who wish to learn more about writing songs and recording great music. This episode is a product of livingcrazybrave.com, another hub where musicians can cultivate new awareness about what it takes to honor the sacred art of making honest music. I had a great time with the band Darden, and I love hearing the Darden music philosophy, how they use music as a force of change, bringing happiness to others when they are performing, and how staying busy in their collective calling gives meaning to their lives. The famous bass player Abraham Laboriel, just look him up, arguably one of the best bass players in the world, and I'm fortunate to call him a friend, just received a Grammy Trustees Award for his journey of excellence in the business. He said a memorable quote. He said, "Remember, to be a musician is not a competitive sport, but a collaborative art." Like the Dardens, if you are an artist, find strength in other musicians and producers. Jump in and take a risk to perform, songwrite, and exchange ideas together. Your musical collaborations and connections will help sustain you and carry you forward in this crazy business for the rest of your musical life.